All this year, NPR and National Geographic are traveling the world for Climate Connections, looking at how people are shaping Earth's climate and how climate shapes people. We're following the Prime Meridian and the International Date Line, those imaginary lines that run from pole to pole, dividing the Earth in half. This month, we're focusing on the South Pacific. It's a vast area, home to peoples who migrated thousands of years ago from Asia to islands, large and small. It's a place of coral reefs, mountain ranges, deserts, and most of all, it's water. To live in the South Pacific is to be surrounded by water, and that water is changing. Greenhouse gases produced by people are warming the Earth and altering the ocean in mysterious ways. Here's NPR's Christopher Joyce.
The islands of Fiji, some 300 of them, are splayed out across the Western Pacific like marbles tossed across a child's playroom.
And the international dateline passes through an island called Tavuni.
That's Simon Magree, chief climate scientist at the Fiji Meteorological Office on Fiji's Big Island. When you cross this so-called dateline, your Monday suddenly becomes Tuesday.
Have you been there?
Yep, I've been there. And you can put one foot on one side of the dateline and one foot on the other.
But no matter where you put your feet here in Fiji, you're close to the ocean, the world's largest ocean. When currents and weather patterns change in the Pacific, half the world feels the effects. Right now, the ocean is rising. A warmer atmosphere is making it expand, just a few centimeters over the last century on average, but Fijians think they're seeing more than that.
There's definitely science right across Fiji that something is going on. And you can tell by exposed roots of coconut trees. If you look at your real estate records, you can see that in some areas there's been quite a bit of land loss.
The sea level record here isn't long enough to know for sure how much sea level has risen. But even a small rise here means higher tides and storm surges. And there's more. Rainfall levels are dropping in some places. Storms appear stronger. Elsewhere in the Pacific, there are unusual droughts. That's the thing about climate change. Its effects are all over the place. Hop on a small plane and fly across the island, and you can see why these changes mean so much to islanders. The island's center is mountainous, old volcanoes, steep, rocky slopes. It's not a place where many people can move if the coastline is inundated. And it's the coastline where people live, in cities like Fiji's capital, Suva. Suva is like many tropical island capitals, easygoing but poor by Western standards. Here at the University of the South Pacific, Kanid Kashanakoshi is a professor of environmental studies. He says living standards are already low here, and if the ocean turns against Fijians, they'll just get worse.
There are a lot of secondary impacts of climate change which will make the quality of life in the island countries very, very bad, as opposed to, say, for example, large land masses where people have a lot more freedom to move around, make adjustments, and so on. And then again, these are countries which are already challenged to the limit with non-climatic problems.
2,000 miles west from Fiji, a short hop by Pacific standards, and it's drought, not rising water, that's got people nervous. Australia is experiencing the worst drought in 100 years. Scientists aren't sure it's due to climate change, but it's what climate change is predicted to do. Clive Wilkinson lives in view of the Pacific in the city of Townsville in Queensland. He coordinates the Global Coral Reef Monitoring Network. Drought means dry soil, and when it does rain, that soil washes into the Great Barrier Reef, the world's largest barrier reef, and that damages the coral. Warmer waters are also killing parts of the reef. But a warming Pacific has much broader effects as well, says Wilkinson. It could change the frequency of the Pacific weather pattern known as El Niño, a cycle of peculiar weather that affects ocean currents and rainfall across half the planet.
That cycle has been shrinking to about 7 years, and possibly even to 4 years. Each time that cycle, the El Niño kicks in, we get drought in Indonesia, we get droughts in Australia, you get droughts in southern Africa, Zimbabwe. The corn crop collapses there.
Scientists will tell you that the hard thing to know about climate change in a big swirling bathtub like the Pacific is how a change in one place affects life somewhere else. Take Heron Island, for example, a speck of land on the barrier reef inhabited mostly by birds. Tens of thousands of shearwaters, also known as mutton birds, congregate here for months. The females build nests in the sandy soil and call for a mate. The sound is said to have frightened 18th century British sailors so much they refused to come ashore.
If you come to the island for the first time, you have several nights of torment.
That's Ove Hoegh-Guldberg, a leading marine scientist with the University of Queensland. He works here several months a year, long enough to become deaf to the constant wailing, or so he claims. He says scientists are seeing ocean currents change, and as they do, the fish and the squid carried in those currents often move farther offshore, too far for the mutton birds to reach them.
You can't fly that distance, and in those years it seems that they abandon their offspring, which is really quite a horrible thing to see when you see chicks literally in the hundreds and thousands starving because their parents can't provide the food anymore.
What Hoegh-Guldberg wants people to understand is what ecologists know, that what happens in Heron Island is connected to every place else, even thousands of miles away.
If you think about it, the use of energy in a city like New York can affect a climate that can affect where the food is for these parents that then have to try and feed their young in a warming world. And in many ways, although climate change is a rather daunting future that we've made for ourselves, is actually teaching us a lot about the fact the world is so connected.
Along with the shearwaters and the coral reefs and the shorelines, millions of people will also feel the strain from rising waters and stronger storms and less fresh water. That's why New Zealand, which along with Australia is among the wealthiest of Pacific nations, is planning for a crisis. The New Zealand government has appointed a climate ambassador, Adrian Macy, formerly ambassador to France.
Climate change has brought massive threats potentially to the economies of these really vulnerable countries. And you can respond to that in a way that you'd respond to a humanitarian crisis, which is effectively what it would be.
That crisis could create a mass migration of people out of the islands. The New Zealand government is making plans to handle climate refugees, although Macy says it has no official policy yet. If such a migration does happen, it could change the mosaic of Pacific culture for centuries. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.
You can learn more about the climate changes that are causing oceans to rise in this month's National Geographic magazine. And you can explore the main issues behind climate change at npr.org/climateconnections.